The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, welcome. Nice to see you all. Nice to see you all. Nice to be sharing this practice. So today I'd like to talk a little bit, or maybe just to build a little bit on this idea of this first phrase that we say when we're saying loving kindness phrases, may you be safe. So just to talk a little bit about safety, certainly not everything that could be said about it, but just want to add one little thing about this. And that is something that I stumbled upon, and I've been thinking about it, and I find really intriguing and evocative and uplifting and inspiring, and something for me to really be considering. And that is that our being truthful in our speech is directly related to creating safety. We say, we have this expression, may you be safe. But there's a way, this author, Gregory Kramer, some of you may know him, he's a Dharma teacher and has a book out. He writes that our deceits, those times in which we're not telling the truth, can be cancerous. And the way that it just grows through a community, that is the obvious ones, right? If that we're not telling the truth, we're exaggerating or just, you know, blatantly lying, or maybe even just kind of lying or omitting the whole truth or something like this. The recipients of our lies, or those who hear us do this or in conversation with us, they may simply stop trusting us, right? If they discover it. This is not news to anybody, of course. But they may also stop trusting us when we start telling the truth too, right? Then maybe they start to, you know, our credibility, our trustworthiness, our integrity has been compromised. Or if they do believe us, maybe they distrust others who are saying something different. Or maybe they begin to distrust themselves. Wow, really? I could have swore it was this way, but this person is saying it's another way. Was something wrong with me? Or I certainly have had this situation where I had made plans to meet somebody at somewhere. This was many, many years ago. And the other person didn't show up. And then later when I was saying, what happened? I thought you were going to show up. No, we didn't agree, but we had agreed. But this person just didn't, I don't know, for whatever reason, just trying to make me feel like we hadn't made this agreement, but I know that we did. So I just started to feel weird about myself and everything. So that's one way in which our being deceitful kind of like spreads as a cancer through our communities and is the opposite of safety. Another way is that others maybe see that lying is necessary to protect their interests too. They might think like, oh, okay, if this person's lying in order, and they may attribute a motive for that. Maybe I better lie too. If I have anything that smells or looks like the motive that we are imagining that the other person is trying to hide, if I have a similar motive, I better lie and cover that up as well. Because whatever that motive was is clearly unacceptable or something like this, right? So, or they may feel compelled to protect themselves in a way. If they feel like, well, if this person is lying, it must not be a safe place around here, whatever community it is. And maybe they become silent and no longer really freely share. Or maybe, as I said, maybe they start lying themselves. But in this way, this dishonesty and mistrust really becomes contagious. And I hadn't thought about it so much as if just coming contagious within a community. I was thinking like, you know, just one individual to another individual. But there's a way in which the lying just breeds all kinds of ways in that help in which people don't feel safe. So we, with loving kindness practice, we're saying, may you be safe. But there's also a connection to our behavior. In addition to, you know, loving kindness practice, one way that we can help people feel safe is to be careful with our words. Be careful with what we say. And to protect our integrity. And to protect our trustworthiness. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile doing that. Okay, so with that as an introduction, maybe before we jump right into meditation practice, maybe I'll just say, I'm linking telling the truth with loving kindness practice through the bridge of safety. They both are related to safety. But I also want to highlight, and those of you who've been practicing for a while don't need me to tell you this, you know it, that there's a way in which practicing loving kindness helps make it easier to be honest. We start to feel less and less like we have to hide something, like we have to show up in only one particular way. We have more care for ourselves. We really want to take care of our own integrity, our own credibility. And we start to have this confidence that no matter what happens, we can find our way with it. With loving kindness practice helps gives the mind and the heart maybe a sense of safety themselves, which helps us to show up with speaking the truth. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's begin some meditation practice. Just taking a meditation posture. A posture that feels comfortable, that you can hold for a little bit of time without too much discomfort, as well as it kind of expressing some intention to meditate. Maybe even expressing some dignity that we have, respect that we have for ourselves. Just feeling into the body. Perhaps feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion or couch or bed or wherever you're sitting, feeling the pressure against the body. Feeling grounded, connected. Letting the attention come to the sensations of breathing. Just noticing the experience of breathing. Noticing the movement of the chest, the movement of the belly, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Maybe beginning with just the aspiration, the intention to just be there with the entirety of an exhale. The beginning, the middle, the end. And then setting that intention. Be for the entirety of an inhale. The beginning, middle, and end of an inhale, the in-breath. And bringing our attention to the transitions between inhales and exhales. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, remembering that we can always come back to this mindfulness of breathing practice. Bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy and complicated to have this warm-hearted feeling, to have goodwill, care, benevolence, kindness, love. Someone you know, someone you don't know. Maybe a being that you imagine. Whomever it might be, can you connect with this lovable being in a warm-hearted way? and to support our cultivation of loving kindness, can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Wishing this lovable being safety, happiness, health, and ease. Connecting with them, maybe freshening up the visualization, this lovable being. And then to expand this loving kindness to include a good friend, bringing them to mind. And of course, we wish safety, health, and happiness and ease for our friends too. One way we can support safety is with what we say. being careful with the truth. And wishing our friend, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. One way we can take care of our friends is to be honest. Honest with kindness. Honest with recognizing the right time to say things. Honesty with sensitivity, honesty with warmth, honesty with care. Connecting with our good friend. Allowing any good-heartedness that is arising to be a support, to be a foundation upon which more loving-kindness, more care can be built. Shared. And then to extend our loving kindness further, to include ourselves, of course, including ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend the same warm-heartedness to ourselves? The same care to ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Of course, one of the ways we can help with our feeling safe is to protect our integrity, our trustworthiness. So that others don't feel like they need to deceive us. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to those we don't know, choosing somebody we don't have a relationship with, a neutral person, maybe somebody we see in the neighborhood on occasion, maybe somebody on this Zoom call. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So this idea of helping to create safety for others. And there's so many ways we can do this, but one is with our words. things that we say. And that helps take care of others as well as it helps us, right? But so even whatever might be happening in our life or in our world, something to be said, like we can have some confidence, like, okay, I'm keeping my integrity, my ethical life. I'm standing to that. I'm not compromising my ethics. So maybe that sounds even a little bit, I don't know, I don't know what word it is, the prudish maybe or something like this. But it's sometimes we just overlook it. But I think it's worthwhile to pay attention and allow us to kind of honor and respect that there are times in which people can be unethical, but they're choosing not to, and including ourselves, and to appreciate that. Okay, so I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms and talk about this idea about the importance of safety, as well as the link between our language and what we and creating safety for others. I'm trying to straighten up these rooms here a little bit, and sorry, sometimes this takes me a little more effort. Okay. Oh, more people are abandoning ship as we go. I'm trying to like even out the room so then, you know, more people leave. So my apologies if by the time you actually get into a room, I'm setting them up so that they're even, but right, you can imagine how this happens sometimes. And people leave at the last minute. So I think many of you have done this so many times, this recognition that just an encouragement to be open, to be like stimulated for new ideas, as opposed to telling others exactly what you know, just an opportunity to listen and maybe hear some ideas. Like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, as opposed to just telling long stories that you already know. So I'll be in groups of three, I think, here. And you can, if it's helpful, you can choose to go in order, we'll say alphabetical order. And we'll meet for about 14 minutes so you have an opportunity to have this discussion. And here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? Yes, Neil.
So what, right, I find that the most difficult part about being honest is not being honest with other people, but being honest with myself. I don't find so much that I'm telling lies to other people. Although, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, I guess I would tell, you know, mislead or tell a white lie. But, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not convinced that's a problem. And it certainly might be good. But I do find I'm repeating the lies I tell myself sometimes. You know, this is complicated.
Yes, yes. Right. I would say so much about this, about the practice of truthfulness, we might say, is really about kind of like I gave you a talk last night and I called it the antidote to self-delusion, right? This not telling ourselves lies. So one way to work with this is just to notice, is there one, do the type of lies that you end up telling yourself or maybe not quite seeing clearly the whole truth of things, do they seem like they have a common flavor, maybe? And then just to, for example, of wanting something, because I want something, I'm not seeing clearly how the way this might harm others or I don't know what else it might be. So one way to work with it could be well, I'm just going to look at my behavior and the things that I say and just keep an eye out when this wanting, whatever it might be, arises. And I'm just going to practice with this for a while, with a warm heart, with compassion, with some spaciousness. So instead of like, I'm telling myself lies, maybe just take, if there's a family of lies, or if there's a family of motives that are underneath the lies, just take one at a time and work with it. When it arises, like, what's going on? What are the conditions that's making me feel like I want to behave in this way right now? What? How do I feel? What's my mind state? Am I tired? Am I feeling hassled or harried? Or I don't know, those types of things. What do you think, Neil?
That was a lovely answer. Thank you.
Great. Philippe.
I thought about the feeling to know when you're saying too much. It's like this is some people, you ask how are you feeling, you end up knowing their life completely. TMI, at one point you say maybe it's too much. So what's the feeling that kind of tells you, I think it would be okay to say this much instead of too much about the truth?
Yeah, about the truth so.
How are you feeling?
I wonder if what you're talking about is something a little bit with intimacy, right? Okay, can I share this much, or is it safer to share this much with this person at this time?
We share a lot in South America, and here usually when I say something, usually I get the answer, well, thank you for sharing. I'm like, wow, I didn't think that was sharing. That was like, hello, this is my day. So it looks like there is a limit, and how do you feel about this? I feel this, or I feel all this. And that's sometimes tricky for me to find the place where it's still okay and it's still true. And after that will be too much information. Will be like, maybe that's for me to know or for some other people to know.
Yeah. I'll say that sometimes when I feel like I've said too much, is that I'm a little bit disconnected from myself. I feel like this momentum to push and share, and I'm just like, you know, just that out comes all these words or something, and then I realize, oh wow, okay, what was that? But somehow I'm no longer really speaking from my heart, or maybe there's a little bit of anger that hasn't been processed or metabolized or something like this. But Philippe, you may also just be pointing to a simple cultural difference, right? That's, you know, here in North America, we're a little bit more stiff or restrained or something like this. And I don't know, does it feel like it's a big problem? I want to think that it's lovely that people from different cultures have different ways. We don't all have to be the same. But I'm saying that living in the culture that I'm from, so it was easy for me to say this, right? But I don't know if this is helpful at all, Philippe.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Thank you. We're a little bit over, but let's go on, Wayne, and if you'd like to.
Well, let me just add, I in speaking to the folks I was speaking to, what is the, where is it where the Buddhist, he comes across some students or monks, and he sort of asks them what they're talking about, and they talk about it, and he says, well, you should either, if you're not talking about practice or something, you know, or something very mundane, don't talk at all. What is that saying?
Yeah. So that's definitely in there. And I think what you said at the beginning is really telling. He was talking to monastics.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than I would say for us that are lay life, you know, they have families and jobs and, you know, have a little bit different life. Monastics who have dedicated their entire life, right? So much so that they only own what, a robe, a bowl, and some medicine and a razor maybe or something. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different than what he's saying, but it's true that the Buddha emphasized he has this long list of what not to talk about, essentially politics and gossip, mm-hmm. and should talk about the Dharma. But otherwise, for us non-monastics, kind, beneficial, true, and timely are the guidelines for speech.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So what a pleasure it is to practice with you all. So thank you, and thank you for your practice. And if you like, we can unmute and say goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Anna.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good
bye, everybody.
Have a good day. Evening.
Goodbye.
Good day,
right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.